Also, even if they have statistics to prove you're incurable, who are they talking about that's incurable? The average American. Remember the person who eats the 12 cows, the 12 pigs, the 3,000 birds, the 3,000 fish, the 30,000 gallons of milk. So an average American eats 1,500 donuts a year, and I don't eat any, so someone is eating 3,000. The average American, I'll agree with them. If they stay, the average American is incurable. I can't cure that person either. But I can show that person how to change their life and they'll heal themselves. So when a doctor says you're incurable, laugh at him. If I would have believed that, I would have undergone heart surgery. I would have a dead person's ligaments in my knee, and I'd have my ass sewed to my hand somewhere. When I had gas, I'd probably go, whoop. This person has lumps in the lymph. Lumps in the lymph. I hear that a lot here. But they've been doing the program for a year. They're not better. They're not worse, though. And the doctors are amazed. Always a good sign when you're amazed at the doctors. You think they would ask you what your program is and start instituting it for this disease in the hospital. They can't do that. Do you know that protocol and even algorithms, an algorithm is a chart that a doctor follows for the treatment of a disease generally. Modern algorithms, surgical and medical protocol are designed by the legal staff in hospitals. They have to design a protocol that will keep them having the least exposure for a malpractice suit. This is not something that's designed on what's the best way to get Mrs. Jones well anymore. That's the sad reality. Well, I'm thrilled that nothing's worth it. And see, this is what I hate about a doctor. They make all these statements like, well, it's not better. Well, are they really looking? Doctors make some of the dumbest statements. I mean, I had a man come to me, a famous movie director, big, tall guy, went in for a prostate check, the first one in his life. They said, your prostate's too big. You have benign prostate hyperplasia. He goes, what do I do? They said, we want to do an 8 needle biopsy. Sounds like a James Bond movie. I'd tell any secret before I'd have a needle stuck anywhere down here. Anywhere down here. I said, don't do it. And he said, well, they said that my prostate is larger than normal. For who? For who? He's had one check. Any idiot, sleeping, drunk, basic science student will tell you, to make any deduction, to draw a line, you have to have 2 points to draw it. How do they know if he's only had one biopsy in his life that it's too big or bigger? It could be smaller. This is a big guy. Maybe he's got a big prostate. Okay, what do I know about this guy? What I know about is for the last 2 years, he's been getting his life together and on a health program. So if anything, I would deduce that if his prostate is overlarge, it's probably used to be this big. It's probably smaller. Why go in and have an 8-needle biopsy when there's nothing wrong? This guy has no symptoms of prostate disease and he's completely healthy. But doctors like to fool and fiddle around. And if you have that biopsy, you will now have an inflamed, sore, scarred prostate. A biopsy is a nice word for ripping tissue out of your body. So I suggested he didn't go in. He's thanked me every day since, has no problems with his prostate. Lumps. A lot of people said they have lumps, whether it's a lot of lymphoid lumps in your armpits, in your groin, in your abdomen. The lymphatic lumps, when your lymph glands are lumped up, that means they're congested. It means that you're fighting off some type of infection. Keep doing your program. Do you do anything directly on the lumps? Sure, lumps are just begging to be touched and fondled and rubbed and skin brushed and hot and cold showers and ice cubes and hot cayenne ginger mustard packs and castor oil packs and meditation and moxibustion and lumps want to be played with. So rub the lumps, touch the lumps, move the lumps, put herbal poultices on the lumps, yeah. And do all your internal cleansing. And your lymphatic lumps will go down. They will go down. You'll watch them go down. People are really afraid of lumps because they say that lumps are a sign that you're probably going to have cancer. Who are they talking about? The average American. But if you have lumps and you're going in the opposite direction, you're not headed for cancer, you're headed for hell. Just work with your lumps. There's another question about how much juice. And I'm not trying to embarrass you, and that's why I didn't say that this was Dorothy Smith. You got to be the judge. I'm empowering you. You know, we know so much, guys. We really do. You know, I was over in the Middle East, and they were showing me that in ancient Egypt, they did mathematics with their hands, and they had they had ways of counting with their hands and their feet, and they showed me the nines, where if you want to go, you hold up your hands, if you want to go 1 times 9, you look at your remaining fingers, and it's 9. If you want to go 2, it's 1, 8, 18. 3 times 9, you put the third finger down, it's 27. 4 times 9, it's 36. 5 times 9 is 45, you go all the way up. They never taught me that in school. And people were doing that 6,000 years ago. I can do it faster on my fingers than with a calculator, guys. So we know so much. There's so much. But we're afraid. Fear. Big one on Brenda's list there. We're afraid. We've been told we don't know and that they know. Had to really empower my patients in coming up with their own dosages and their own blends of juice. And how they were putting their program together. I kept the pressure on, but they had to make the final decisions. Question here on how to bring the hormone levels down naturally. A person is no longer taking hormones, but still has high hormone levels. Well, the first place to always start if you want to clean hormones out of your body is the liver. If you want to clean drugs out of your body is the liver. But the liver is designed to metabolize and excrete and get rid of not only all toxic chemicals and drugs, but even your natural hormones that you produce or ones that you took from an outside source, whether it was birth control pills or contraception pills or Premarin or whatever. So flush and clean out the liver. And whenever you're flushing and clean out the liver, you should be protecting it at the same time. So don't forget your milk vessel. The bowel. Flushing out the bowel. We don't want anything staying in there. And juice flushing. Get the juicer out. And your hormone levels will balance out. And there's great herbs for balancing your hormones. And you'll see some of them listed in the patient handbook. Female tonic, female balance tonic. Just look at the herbs that are in there. The herbs are great at balancing the hormones. You will just be blown away. I've had ladies that were suicidal. Their lives were ruined. They'd lost their jobs. Their husbands moved out. Their children were living at the neighbor's house. I could tell you stories for days. And then all of a sudden, 30 days later, everything was back to normal because the hormones were balanced. Imbalance in hormones not only creates cancer, but it creates hypersensitivity and insanity. You know, you ladies know what I'm talking about. And since over 90% of my patients were ladies, I know what I'm talking about. Tortured the hell out of me. Someone says milk thistle. Should it be ripe seeds or the unripe seeds? It should be any seeds you can get your hands on. Remember, my specialty is saving your life. Once your heart is beating and your coronary arteries are unclogged, once the clotting has been removed in your brain and you're no longer having the possibility of a stroke. Once your malignant cancer is out of your body and stopped, go to an herbal school. Okay? But right now, it doesn't matter. Eat it raw. Get down on your hands and knees and eat the milk thistle, eat the stalk, eat the roots. You get the point? Okay? I don't mind that you ask these questions at all. And I love talking about herbs. But on a clinical level, this stuff becomes a joke. Sometimes the black walnuts I used to stop raging fungal attacks in people, I had to go out and dig through the snow to find them. And I always used hawthorn berries because Dr. Knowles at the Dominion College taught that to Dr. Christopher, who taught it to me, the power of the hawthorn berry to bind and surround the heart cell. Your heart cells can live on less blood and oxygen when you have hawthorn berry in your body. And if you have a heart attack, your heart cells will repair themselves 10 times faster. There's research all over the world about hawthorn berry. But you know what happened? It was in the springtime, and I couldn't get any. So I used the flowers. And then it was in the fall, and the flowers and the berries were gone, so I used the leaves. And you know, now research shows us that you can use the berries, the leaf, and the flower. If you can't get lobelia seed, dig up the roots. Don't use any of this as a reason not to do it. Most of the technology out there today, most of the scientific study, most of the consensus, most of the herbal meetings are all by people who've never had a practice and never had a clinic. I've been asked to come to herbal symposiums all over the world, and they bore the heck out of me. I went to one in Oxford, England recently, and they didn't have any herbal tea for break. An herbal symposium, no herbal tea. Lunch was beer and pepperoni pizza. Okay? I get really bored with people who are not... See, I'm not just an herbalist. We're talking about natural healing here. It's a very broad concept. A very broad concept. Some people feel the unripe seeds are more powerful. Some people like them when they're in more of their milky stage. The reality is in my clinic, if someone had a digestive disturbance and I needed fennel and I didn't have it, I would go out into the hills in January where it had dried and decayed on the stalk, and I used it, and it was still better than Do you know what I'm saying? So don't let any of that get in your way. Here. Some of you have asked about herpes. I had a lot of patients with herpes in my clinic. As viruses progress in the world, I believe that in the next 20 or 30 or 40 years, most of us on this planet are going to test positive for all the viruses. If you want to not test positive for everything from herpes to Epstein-Barr, mononucleosis, HIV, then I think you better staple like 30 mil plastic around your house and not come out for 30 years. Build some kind of plastic bubble. Because the reality is you're going to get hit with all this stuff. The only way you're going to protect yourself is creating a strong offense, not a defense. You got to be strong and healthy. Create a lifestyle where your body, mind, and spirit can survive anything. I had in my clinic, I could tell you horror stories. I had men with throat cancer, and when we broke it up, he vomited right in my mouth. It's cancer. I mean, I can tell you better than that. I've had AIDS all over me, all around. No protection, no barrier, splattered with it. And you know what? I'm not sick with any of these things. I dare these things to live inside my body. See that attitude? This stuff doesn't come near me. It's scared of me. I don't eat what this stuff wants to grow on. I don't think what this stuff needs to feed on. That's how you're going to keep yourself from getting sick in the years ahead. Because believe me, we're getting blasted. Almost everybody is testing positive for herpes simplex 1 or 2 or herpes zoster. Almost everybody's testing positive for Epstein-Barr. And more people are testing positive for HIV. And you know what I saw with all my patients that tested positive with HIV? They never got sick, as long as they created a healthy lifestyle. Magic Johnson looks sick to anybody? You know what HIV means? Nothing, as far as I'm concerned. Nothing at all. Just means that you have been exposed. You got a virus in your body. Whoop-de-doo. These things don't have to be worried about. If your herpes outbreaks, here's what I saw in my clinic. When you had constant outbreaks, you weren't doing enough programs. Put one foot in front of the other, keep going down that healthy path, and your herpes should stay away forever. My patients that treated their herpes and then went off the program always had reoccurrences. My patients that stayed on the path never had reoccurrences. Topically, there's a lot of things that you use. I like garlic oil. Hurts like heck on a mouth or herpes simplex 1 or 2 mouth or genital. Hurts like heck, but it works great. Garlic destroys herpes virus, period. Works really well. It burns. Hey, deep tissue oil hurts on the anus, but it heals hemorrhoids too. So it all depends on what you're willing to put up with. Let me tell you a couple stories here. Now, I know what always goes on in everybody's mind at this time of the day is, I didn't hear enough or I didn't get my questions answered. And I've been right there with you, sitting in an audience like this 1,000 times. I'm the greatest student. I take more notes, got my tape recorder going, and try to breathe it all in. Let me tell you a couple stories. Talked earlier, I said I wasn't trying to cheat death. We're just trying to have a long, happy, healthy life. There is no downside to natural healing. Even if you die, there's no downside. I was called by a man who's a famous drummer, and he said, my wife's really ill, she's got cancer, she's in the hospital, will you come and visit her and see if you can help? And I said, no, I don't go to hospitals. He said, please, please, please. And I said, look, I don't go to hospitals. I get arrested there, they don't like me there, the food's horrible. And he said, isn't there anything I could do? And I said, no. But I said, if you can get her out of the hospital, bring her to my clinic. And he said, I can't get her out of the hospital. She's all hooked up with everything. And I said, well, I'm not going to come. And he says, I'll give you 2 tickets to my next concert. And I said, 30 minutes? Is that okay? I'll be there. I can be bought. When I went in the hospital, she was down at the end of the hall. She had a tube in everywhere. She was bald. She was scarred. She was smoking marijuana and then vomiting into a pan. Smoking marijuana and vomiting into a pan. They put her in the end wing of the hospital where they put everybody that they don't know why they're still alive, because the amount of medical treatment they gave them, they should have died years ago. This woman had cancer of the brain, cancer of the lungs, cancer of the bones, cancer of the kidneys and liver. She had cancer everywhere. It metastasized through her whole body. They had to remove just about every organ and tissue they could. She was scarred everywhere. They gave her so much chemo and radiation, her skin looked like an alligator, and there was blood and pus coming out from all between the cracks. Geez, thanks for calling me so early on in the progression of the disease. Her name was Claire, though. She was beautiful, and when I got to talk with her, she was very smart. I said, Claire, do you know what's going on here? And she goes, yeah. I go, what's going on? She goes, I'm supposed to be dead. I go, what do you want? You know, let's pretend this is the Make-A-Wish Foundation. What do you want? And she goes, I want to go home. I go, let's go. And I go, she said, they won't let me out. Let's see about that. I have a couple ambulance drivers that are like sumo wrestlers in L.A., And I used them to get all my patients out of the hospital, and they came in, and I remember this little guy, oncologist, said, "You can't do that." And I said, "Watch him." And they took her home. And he said, "Well," he said, "I remember him," he said to me, he goes, "You can't unplug that." And I went, I unplugged everything. Tubes, IVs, just took it all out. Sent her home. She was bleeding in the car on the way home, in the ambulance. Got her home, and we started all the treatments. And she started getting better. And I had her husband skin brushing her and massaging her with olive oil. And that alligator skin stopped bleeding and came back to normal. Her hair grew back. She started getting her energy up. Got to where she was juicing herself in the kitchen. This was in September. October rolled around. She's doing better. We even had her on pumpkin, raw pumpkin and pumpkin seeds, because we had a lot of pumpkins at that time. November came around. We had a great raw Thanksgiving, and she invited her relatives, and the holidays came around, and all her relatives came from all over the country, and she got to be with her kids, all the whole families there, New Year's, big celebration. And about 2 weeks into January, her husband calls me out of the blue and says, "I think she's dead." I said, "You got to be kidding me. She was getting better." And he goes, "I'm sure she's dead." And I went over to the house, went in her room, and sure enough, she was dead. And I sat there and I pulled myself to bits for a half hour. Like, what didn't I do right? Where didn't I do it enough with intensity? Should we use grapefruit instead of lemon in the liver flush? Or maybe we shouldn't have done citrus this time of year. We should have done the apple and grape juice. Or maybe just grape juice alone, because the pectin in it would have drawn onto this. Or maybe it wasn't the liver at all. Maybe I missed. Maybe I should have gone into her blood. You know, I just beat myself up. And I sat there and I cried. And then the second reality came, that there were a lot of big people in the living room that I think wanted to kill me. And I thought, how am I going to get out of this house alive? That fear took over now. But after about 30 minutes, I went out in the living room and told her that, yeah, she was dead. And they sat me down, and every relative wept and thanked me. And what they said was, is that I had achieved, and really it wasn't me, it was Clara, had achieved the impossible. That she had survived far beyond what the doctor said. She got out of all her pain, she grew her hair back, her skin looked great, and she got to spend all the holidays with her children and her brothers and sisters and her family, and she fell asleep at the end with no pain, no tubes, no vomiting. Was this a failure? Or was this a blessing? And that day I started getting something about what I call natural death. Natural death. It's kind of like natural healing. It's natural death. In other words, are we supposed to be born and die in hospitals with a big bill? Do you want the last sounds you hear to be the of the cardiac monitor with some strangers around you that have already worked 36 hours and they really don't give a darn? Or do you want to die at home, falling asleep with your friends and your loved ones, getting a little massage with some lavender oil? Clara had a great, great, great death. We don't talk about it much in this country. It's much more talked about in other countries, or in India, where I travel to. But in this country, we don't talk about death, but it's the inevitable end for everyone in here, physically, our physical death. And we can leave our relatives with a legacy of a $200,000 bill. Medicine makes a lot of money in those last couple months, boy. Their job is to get your nest egg. Don't worry about estate tax. There won't be anything left to give to the government. I'm telling you, I've watched it with my patients. I've watched my patients have to declare bankruptcy because the bone marrow transplant wasn't covered by the insurance. And even though dad is dead, they still had to declare bankruptcy, and the hospital took their home and their car away. I mean, I've seen it all. But that didn't happen to Clara. She was at home with a smile on her face, blissed out the day she left. Had another lady come in my clinic. She had a liver tumor so big it was coming out down here, the wrong quadrant. Your liver's up here. It was the size of a football. She was on a constant liquid morphine. She was in a tremendous pain. No problem. Let's get to work. Got to work, and in about 2 weeks, she came in my office and she said, "Dr. Schultz, I really appreciate this. I've been able to get off all my morphine. I'm in no pain. I have a clear head." And I said, "What is your clear head telling you?" And she goes, "I want to die." And I said, "No, it's probably the morphine talking. Let's go to work." She finally had to grab me and stop me. She said, "Dr. Schultz, I'm blissed out. All I wanted to do was get off of my pain medication so I knew who I was before I died. And I didn't die some doped up drug addict." And I said, "What do you want to do?" She goes, "I want to have a party at my house." She goes, "I want to eat everything I haven't been able to eat in the last 3 years. And she goes, "I want to invite all my friends, and then I want to go in my room and die." And I said, "Man, let's party. Hardy. Marty." And I went, and we partied, and she died the next morning. Okay? With a smile on her face, with no morphine in her body. Natural death. I never realized that all my patients would eventually die. And they did. It's not dying. It's your level of pain, dignity, laughter, bliss when you die. And so these programs we've talked about today, I have seen hundreds, over 1,000 people come in my clinic with cancers I didn't think myself could be cured. Sure enough, my patients healed themselves. So what I have learned is there are absolutely no incurable diseases, none. Anything you can come up with, even if I don't know what the name of it is. I've had helped people heal their disease that I didn't even know what it was. One of my first patients had a blood platelet problem, and I helped her heal herself, and I didn't even know what a blood platelet was. You know, to grow a sunflower, think about it. Do you have to know what photosynthesis is? Do you have to know the complex exchange between carbon dioxide and oxygen? Do you have to know what chlorophyll is? Do you have to know how the plant sunflower's leaves are affected by sunlight and transmutate that or the minerals in the soil into plant-soluble minerals? No. You kick a hole in the ground, you drop a sunflower seed in it, and you put some water on it, and it grows. The point is do you have to know anatomy and physiology and chemistry and oncology to heal yourself of any disease? No. All you have to do is plant the seed and let it grow. All you have to do is create the environment, because the only real healing is the one that your body is going to create. And my patients who followed these programs healed themselves of everything. Every disease. For those of you in here that are here to help a friend or loved one that may not be here, they needed to be here. Healing cancer, heart disease, or anything is a personal journey. It's one that you have to undertake yourself. The first word, the first rule of natural healing is responsibility. And until a person is willing to take responsibility for their health and take it into their own hands, they're not going to heal themselves. Remember, medicine is for people who don't want to take responsibility. Lie on a table, get a painkiller, they cut the cancer off. It's all gone. Don't worry. But then it comes back. Why? Because the person didn't take responsibility and make the changes in their life to stop growing cancer. How many people do you know that have had a bypass and after the surgery, the doctor told the patient to go out and enjoy themselves? Hey, go out, you got all new plumbing. Now you got new plumbing to wreck. If I learned anything in my clinic, it was responsibility. I couldn't heal anybody. I couldn't heal any of my patients. They had to heal themselves. If I learned anything else in my clinic, it was simplicity. Keep it simple. Don't worry about it. Don't try to figure it out too much. Create a healthy lifestyle. You know how to do it. And I've given you a lot of tips today that you can add into your life. And the third thing I learned was change. If you are diseased and you want to heal yourself, you have to change. You have to change who you are. And for those of you out here who are sick right now, the doctors told you, oh, something scary, you're going to die. I can assure you that I had patients much worse than you sitting in my clinic. Patients that were rotting and falling apart, and I told you about some of them. Patients that were vomiting blood. My clinic at the end, I had my girlfriend came over from England as a trained medical herbalist in England to work in my clinic, along with an apprentice. And the first day, she vomited all over the place, and the apprentice fainted, was up against the wall and just kind of fainted. It gives you a little bit of an idea what it was like. I mean, lots of blood, lots of pus, lots of vomiting, sick, dying people. Because the last couple of years, I took on a lot of that. That's what I wanted to see, was how far could we push this. So I can assure that all of you in here that think it can't get worse, I've seen it a lot worse. And I've seen those people at death's door come back. Not just come back, not just survive, but come back to be blissed out, laughing, and looking like Brenda Michaels. Does Brenda look sick to any of you in here? Do I look like I got a heart problem or a hand that I can't use? You know, or a knee that I can't put any weight on? So I assure you, anybody in here that's sick, I've seen people 10 times worse heal themselves totally and live a happy, healthy, blissed out life. What can all of you do in here? Being a dad now, I'm very concerned about the future. You know, when my son goes to the park, looks like he's playing with a bunch of mutants. I mean, these kids all got tubes in their ears. They've had surgeries already. There's always green mucus running out of their nose. My son's 4.5 years old. He's never been sick. Never been to a doctor. Never had a shot, any of that stuff. But I worry about his future. Because maybe half his friends are going to have had the hepatitis C vaccine when they were 4 hours old. In fact, maybe half his friends were mixed up in a test tube and not in a womb. I worry about the future that we have, but I worry a lot less about it when I'm sitting with 400 people like you in a room. And all I can say is, I came here for one reason, and that's to share with you some of the simple truths I learned about healing yourself in the hopes that you would go out and create happier, healthier lives for yourself. It'll make you make better choices, which will help the environment and other people. And if you'll go out and just share this with somebody else, become a crusader. That's why I call this a crusade, because that's how we're going to have a blissed out planet here. That's how we're all going to be able to breathe the air without getting poisoned. That's how we're going to get rid of cancer that has now become an epidemic that is killing millions of people every year around the world. So I'm very blessed to have all of you here. Thank you so much. I love you all.
For more information on Dr. Schultz, you may contact his School of Natural Healing at 877-TEACH-ME. That's 877-832-2463. Or you may write to Dr. Schultz's School of Natural Healing at P.O. Box 3628, Santa Monica, California, 90408.